Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Bamitzia, Tzadi Gimel, Thank Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lenos Echon Shmas Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. We are starting today in the very top of Tzadi Beitzim and Beis, and we are starting today with the words Tashmats, about five lines down from the top of the Amud. Properly situate us in the Gemara. So we discussed yesterday, Gemara opened up with a question, very basic question, a fundamental question regarding the entitlement that is given to the worker that he can eat. As we've been learning now, the seventh parak of Bamitzia, so we know that the topic of the seventh parak of Bamitzia is a poel, is a worker, and specifically his right to eat. And the worker has the right to eat food off the off the tree as he's working with the tree, again with restrictions and with certain reservations in terms of when he could do so, but he can eat. And as we discussed yesterday, it's an all-you-can-eat buffet. As much as he can eat, so he's allowed to eat. We discussed yesterday machlokas in the Mishnah. Should we cap it at all in terms of how much he can eat? So machlokas in the Mishnah between the Tanakhama and Rav Elazar Chasma. Rav Tanakhama says there's no capping. Rav Elazar Chasma says, no, we should cap it. We should cap it to how much he earns. So in other words, the bonus shouldn't be any greater than the amount that he earns. But Tanakhama and the Chachamim disagree. And yesterday we spent some time discussing the difference between the Tanakhama and Chachamim, what point of differentiation exists between them. But in the meantime, however, the Gemara opened up yesterday with a very basic question, and that's as follows. This eating is clearly a bonus, meaning he's receiving some sort of bonus for working in the field, where the Torah says that in addition to the wages that you earn, you're also going to be able to eat food in the field. And so clearly this is a bonus. And the way the Gemara phrases the question is, I'll just read the Gemara from yesterday's daf, Sadi Beza Medalev, Ibailuhu Pol Mishalohu Ochel. So is it that the bonus is coming from the employer, O Mishal Shamaimu Ochel, or is it coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Now, as I mentioned yesterday, even when it's coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right, that's on the employer's paycheck. I mean, that's on the employer's balance sheet, right? The employer still has to pay, obviously. The Gemara points out that there would be a very simple nafkamina. The Gemara says, what would be the nafkamina, whether it comes from the employer as wages or it's coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu as a bonus min hashamayim? So, l'may nafkamina, the Gemara says, so what difference would it make? Da'amar tenu li'ishu vanai. So, the difference, says the Gemara, would be where he asks his employer, do me a favor, I'm entitled to this bonus of eating. I would like to forward it to my wife, to my children. So if you say to me, Shalom, if you say that this is just simply part of his wages, so he is allowed to take his wages and forward them to somebody else even before he gets them. However, if it's a function of Min HaShamayim, that this is a entitlement given to him from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so that means that only he's entitled to this entitlement, and nobody else is entitled to the entitlement. He can't forward it over to anybody else. So the Gemara says this would be the nafkamina between the two sides of this very basic question. Okay. Well, with that stated, so the Gemara yesterday went through a number of brises, trying to see which side seems to be clear in the Mishnayos and in the brises, and we are continuing now Tashma. So this is what we're up to right now in the Gemara, and really for the balance of the Amud, the Gemara is going to try to clarify whether or not this bonus is Mishalo, it's just simply part of his wages. The Torah just simply requires the employer to provide a bonus for his employee, notably the food on his field. Ma'or, is it Min HaShamayim, or that, no, this is really an entitlement from Akash Baruch Hu. It's like Rashi used the analogy yesterday. It's like Matnos Aniyim. So right, it's a gift to the poor. So he too has this entitlement, but it's coming straight from Akash Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says, come in here and let's continue from where we left off. Let's say the worker was hired to work in the field and it's fourth year, meaning that the field, it's an orchard of trees that has fourth year fruit. We know years one through three from the planting of the tree. So the fruit that grows in that field is Arla, and you're not allowed to eat the fruit during the first 3 years. Actually, you're not allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to benefit from it. The fruit is Arla. And then in the fourth year, that's called Netzer Revai. And in the fourth year, so which has the same halacha as Maaser Sheni. Excuse me. It's the same halacha as Maaser Sheni, where the fruit has to be picked, taken to Yerushalayim, eaten in Yerushalayim, or redeemed on money, money's brought to Yerushalayim, it's treated exactly like Maaser Sheni. But here's what you can't do. You can't eat the fruit on the field. In other words, the fruit has Kedusha, just like Maaser Sheni. So now you hire a worker to work in the field, and it happens to be that the orchard is fourth year fruit. And so now we can't eat it. So Hare Eila Lo Yochlu. So okay, so the basic halacha is that you can't eat it. In other words, generally speaking, it is an entitlement, but here you're not allowed to eat it. It's not to Ravai. V'im lo hodiyam. But let's say when the employer hired him to work in this orchard, so he left out just a small detail, and that is he didn't tell him that it was fourth year fruit, and he didn't tell him that he wasn't allowed to eat it. And then as he started working, with a little small tap on the shoulder, oh, by the way, I know you're excited about working this field. I know you're excited about snacking, but what can I tell you? It's fourth year fruit. Sorry. So now, if the workers didn't know this, so then poda ma'achilan. So now, what we expect the employer to do is to redeem, like Maaser Sheni, and then to allow him to eat the redeemed produce of that field. So, and then we put the onus, the responsibility on the owner in order to do that. So now the Gemara makes the following observation. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. If this is Min HaShamayim, it's Matnos Aniyim. Well, I should say better, it's like Matnos Aniyim. If it's Min HaShamayim, so then what are we talking about? You told him, you didn't tell him. Lamaisa, it is not, it's the bonus comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is Netzer Ravai. They're not allowed to eat Netzer Ravai. What difference does it make whether they know or whether they didn't know? So the Gemara says, Lo Zachu L'Rechmana. The Torah doesn't give them that kind of allowance in order to eat Netzer Ravai. So, okay, you didn't tell them, and you should have told them. But Lamaisa, this is not a bonus coming from the employer, this is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in this particular case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're not allowed to eat it. So I don't understand, what's the difference? So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the difference is. The difference is, it looks like a Mekachtos. Meaning, that you're right, even we could still argue that's Min HaShamayim. And you could say that this is straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is not a bonus from the employer. However, employer did wrong by them. Employer had them work in the field, thinking that they were allowed to eat from the field. Meanwhile, they're not allowed to eat from the field. And the employer did wrong. So it looks like a Mekachtos. So therefore, what we're going to do is that we're going to penalize the employer. You should have told them. You didn't tell them. Okay. So now you're going to be required to redeem the fruit in order to feed them. Fine. Amos Sefer the Gemara says, okay, but let's continue now. Next part of the Mishnah. By the way, this Mishnah we're going to see later this morning. Nisparso Agulim. Let's say the following happened. You took dates. You pressed them together in a cake, which, as we've discussed time and again, that is the Gemara Malacha at that point in time. It's Chayiv and Trumos and Maisos. And then what did you do? And then what happened is that the pressed cake fell apart. And so now what you're doing is you're hiring workers in order to piece the cake back together again, the day cake. So, or nispaschu chaviosav. Or let's say you had a barrel of wine, and the barrel was coming undone, and the wine was spilling out, so you hired workers in order to put the barrel back together again. Hare elu lo yochlu. So in these cases, the workers are not allowed to eat. The reason why the workers are not allowed to eat is because at this point in time now, it's too late. Meaning, the figs, because they were already pressed into a cake, has gone through Gemar Malacha, which means now it's Chayiv and Trumos and Maisos, which means it's Tevel, so the workers are not allowed to eat it. And the same thing was with the wine. The wine has already been processed, already been placed in the pit in the ground, already been transferred to the barrel. At that point in time now, it's Chayiv and Trumos and Maisos, and therefore the workers are not allowed to eat it. However, V'im lo hodian ma'aser ma'chilan. But let's say that what happened is that they hired the workers, but I didn't tell the workers, oh, you know what? It's Chayiv and Trumos and Maisos. And the employer forgot to tell the employee. So if he hired them under that misunderstanding, we're going to explain better in just a moment what the misunderstanding was. So if that's the case, so then says the Mishnah, the owner is going to have to take off Trumos and Maisos and then allow the worker to eat. Now the Gemara says, what kind of misunderstanding are we talking about over here? Imar Mishal Shemaim Hu Ochel Amai Maaser Ma'achilan Misur Lo Zach Le'Rachmana. And again, we're going to repeat the same question. Look, if this is Min HaShamayim, the entitlement of the worker to eat is coming straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now let's consider, what are we talking about over here? We're talking about a bonus coming straight from Hashem on something that he's not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to eat it. So what difference does it make? Again, it's the same question, whether he was informed or whether he was not informed. And the Gemara says, and maybe it's a penalty towards the employer because he misled the employee, like we said in the previous case. But the Gemara says, but I don't understand, what are we talking about over here, misleading? Meaning, bishlama nisparso agolav mechzei kemechachtos. So the Gemara says, look, in the case of the dates, actually, I do understand. It is misleading. Because again, what happens when the worker got to the field? He saw all these figs scattered around. He didn't know that it was already pressed into a cake and undone. So he didn't know that it's chayv and shumas amaisos. That, so then the Gemara says, and on that I can totally understand how there was a misunderstanding between the employee and the employer. And because the employer didn't tell the employee that the cakes were already pressed and it's already chayv and shumas amaisos and you're not allowed to eat it. So then, fine. So then a penalty to the employer for not telling the employee, and we can understand the misunderstanding. But elan is paschu chavios. But let's go to the next case of the Mishnah. Which is the wine has already been transferred into barrels, and the barrels started breaking. And the workers were hired to fix the barrel. To which the Gemara says, now let's think about this. We are now at the point where the wine was made, put into the ground, into the pit in the ground, transferred from the pit into the barrels. Certainly, if what the workers are asked to do is just simply put the barrels back together again, that's for sure Gemara Malacha. So the Gemara says, and what kind of misunderstanding are we talking about? My Mekachal Zika. So the Gemara Yadidid Velulamaisa. The Gemara says, so now there's no misunderstanding. So why then should be the difference whether or not the employer informed or the employer did not inform? So the Gemara says, Amar Sheshis, Shinis Paschu Chavios Labor. So the Gemara says, well, here's what happened. The barrel's broken, then you know what happened to the wine? The wine spilled back into the pit in the ground. And the Gemara says, and now we understand. So now, when the employees got there, what did they think? Oh, they thought that, what stage are we are now in the processing of the wine? We're not at the Gemara Malacha because the wine has only gone into the pit in the ground, hasn't been transferred over to the barrels. Oh, okay, fine. The Gemara says, Vahatanya Yai Mishar Labor. The Gemara says, okay, but what is the Gemara Malacha point of wine when it's Chayv and Shumas HaMaaser? So the Gemara here quotes that it's at the point where it goes into the pit. That's the point of Gemara Malacha. So again, even when the workers get there and they see the wine in the pit, haven't we reached the point of Gemara Malacha? And what kind of misunderstanding now could there possibly be between the employer and the employee? So the Gemara says, Karebi kiva da'amar mishi yakpe. So the Gemara says, well, that's not a unilateral position. The opinion of Rabbi Kiva is that the Gemara Malacha for wine is not just simply it going into the pit, but it going to the pit, and then you skimming the top. Meaning what happens is that as the wine is settling into the pit, so a lot of the schmutz rises to the top, you skim the top, then it has arrived at the point of Gemara Malacha. So, Da'amale lohavi adinan. And now what the workers can say to the employer is, well, we didn't know that. Meaning, clearly we see that the wine's in the pit. But we didn't know that you skimmed off the top already, and we didn't know that it has arrived at the point of Gemara Malacha. V'nei melehu, the Gemara says, yeah, but can't he, the employer, say to them, the workers, ibay lechu asuke daidchu dema makfe? Well, I understand you guys didn't know, but you clearly see that the wine's in the pit. And shouldn't you at least have suspected or entertained the idea that somebody skimmed off the top and the wine's gone through Gemara Malacha? Meaning that's a very simple possibility. And shouldn't you guys have taken that into consideration? And why now is the onus on the employer? Oh, now he misled them. Now he's got to pay them the bonus. Why? It's very easy to imagine over here that somebody skimmed the top off. So the Gemara says, "Baso deugavra denagid iu makpe." So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you why the workers would not have thought otherwise. We're dealing with a community, says the Gemara, where it was normal that the person who's transferring the wine from the pit into the barrel, so he was the skimmer as well. So if they were asked to come and transfer the wine from the pit in the ground into the barrel, so now it's safe for them to assume that it has not gone through Gemara Malacha and that they would have been entitled to drink a little bit of the wine while they were working. And now we can understand the difference in the Mishnah, whether employer told them that it's off limits or the employer didn't tell them, because in such a scenario, we can easily understand that there was a misunderstanding that occurred. Now, the Gemara points out, now, there really is a third opinion. Meaning, so far, what we've seen in terms of what the Gemara Malacha of wine is, we've seen so far two opinions. One is that once the wine goes into the pit, that's it, Gemara Malacha. Two, the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, which is wine goes into the pit and skimming off the top, all the schmutz off the top. That's opinion number two. And now the Gemara points out there really is a third opinion regarding wine and the Gemara Malacha point of wine and when it becomes tevel. Yayin Mishirah Labor V'yikpeh, according to this brisa, the Tanakamas of the opinion that once the wine goes into the pit and you skim off the top, that's a Tanakama. Now we know Rabbi Akiva is going to push it off to a later point in time. So in this brisa, obviously Rabbi Akiva is going to have to push it off even further. So, and Rabbi Akiva Omer, Mishi Yishle Bechavios, and according to Rabbi Akiva, once it's transferred into the barrels, and another skimming is done when the wine is in the barrels. That is when the wine has reached the point of the Gemara Malacha. So now, according to the third opinion, the truth of the matter is, we can go back to the Mishnah, and we could say a really simple pshat in the Mishnah. Again, remember, the Mishnah talks about where I'm hiring workers to fix the barrels. And the question is, well, how could the workers even drink the wine at that point in time? Isn't it tevel? So our first approach has been so far, well, what happened was is that when the barrels broke, the wine went back into the pit. And then they came and they didn't know this, and they therefore thought that we're at an early stage of wine development. Now the Gemara says in this sheet, even when the wine goes into the barrel, it's still not Gemara Malacha. It has to go into the barrel, and you have to skim off the top of the barrel. So Mishiyishlo bechavios. I feel the same Mishlo nispaschu chavios labor. So then we don't have to go back to the previous answer that we offered, the previous explanation, I should say, where the barrels broke and the wine bag went back into the pit, but rather we're talking about where the wine was actually in the barrel. The amrle lo haviyadin demashle, and now they can argue, look, we know we were hired, we know the wine's in the barrel, we see the wine's in the barrel, but what we didn't know is that the barrels were skimmed off the top. So the Gemara says v'nei malhu ibaylochu asuke daicha demashle, and again, can't the counter argument of the worker, of the employer to the worker, say, well, shouldn't you have thought of that? Meaning, isn't it obvious that if the wine's in the barrel, there's a distinct possibility that someone skimmed the top already, and therefore we're at the point of Gemara Malacha? And again, the Gemara says, Basra dehu desharik hu mashli. No, the people that are hired to seal the barrels are the people who are hired to skim the wine in the barrel. So therefore, it is a fair assumption on their part that even though the wine has been transferred into the barrels, if the barrels have not been sealed yet, and they're hired to seal it, so they can safely now assume that the barrel's not been skimmed, and therefore, we're not at the point of the Gemara Malacha. Okay. That was a mouthful. So again, all this, so now we have not yet clearly demonstrated where this bonus of eating, is it Mishalo? Is it simply a bonus of his wages that he's entitled to, that the Torah gives him an entitlement, but it's coming from the employer, or Mishal Shamayim? Or is it coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu? So we went through a lengthy analysis of the Mishnah coming up on today's daf, and the Gemara has yet to resolve the issue. Tashma. Gemara quotes another Mishnah. It actually, this Mishnah as well, is coming up later this morning. A person can make the following negotiation. Go to the employer and say, look, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to work your field today, and I know I'm entitled to a bonus. But can we do the following? Can I not take the bonus in terms of food? Can I take the bonus in terms of money? I will not eat in the field. And now I'm asking you, can I have the bonus now as a monetary bonus and not as a food bonus? And if you make such a negotiation, and if the employer agrees, so by all means. And not only can you negotiate on behalf of yourself, that part's easy, meaning that's not much of a chiddush in the Mishnah.
Isn't that variable?
Right. Well, that's why it has to be negotiated. Meaning, that's exactly, it is a variable, and that's why it has to be negotiated. And the employer presumably doesn't have to agree. Meaning, he could just simply say, "No, I'm not going to give you a bonus. I'm, you know, we'll go to the Torah's guideline of you take from the field, but that's it. All right, anyway, but so the idea that he can negotiate on behalf of himself, that's obvious. But the Mishnah actually is now giving us even a bigger chiddush, which is that you can negotiate for family members that are working with you. So beno bito agadolim, avdo v'shivchas agadolim, ayidei ishto. So your adult children, your adult slaves that are working with you, your wife that's working with you. So you can negotiate on all their behalfs, and therefore you can now go to the Baal HaBayis and say that instead of all of us receiving food, we'd all like to receive some sort of monetary bonus, and you can make such a negotiation. Now, the reason why you can negotiate on their behalf is that they have das, and it's good that they have das, meaning, and that they understand, and they could be mochel, meaning they can say, we don't want the food, and yes, we would rather have our father, our husband, or our husband. Sorry, my husband. Okay, could be our husband. Okay, but but either way, so they could be mocha. Fine. However, what he cannot do is he cannot make such a negotiation on behalf of his minor children. Why? Because they don't have das, and they can't be mochel. And the Torah tells them to eat, and for them to just simply say, yeah, we'd like to waive our bonus of food in lieu of receiving a monetary obligation, so they cannot be mocha. So therefore, you can't negotiate on behalf of your minor children. V'lo ayidei behemto, and also you can't negotiate on behalf of your animal as well. Mimnei she'ein behem das, because they do not have das. Okay. Now, parenthetically, and we'll see this a little bit later on, the animal really is a different category than your children. Right. Right. There it's a muzzling issue. Okay. Anyway. It's fine. So now the Gemara says, let's telegraph our punch over here. Okay. So far, we saw the Mishnah, which is coming up later this morning, that which basically says you are allowed to exchange the food for money. Again, negotiate it. As long as the owner of the field allows you to do so, you may do so. Not only on behalf of you, on behalf of your family as well. Now, are you providing them food? Right now, the Gemara says, let's assume that you're providing them food. Now, by the wife, let's start like this. Let's say nice and easy. By one's wife, you're obligated to provide for her food. That's not even an issue. Now, her masi adaim go where? Her masi adaim go to you. So we now have a scenario in which, I'm starting with the wife, and then we'll move from there. So we have a scenario in which you understand that all of her earnings are entitled to you because you have to support her. Okay. So now if her earnings are entitled to you, so for sure, for your wife, it is perfectly within your right to negotiate on her behalf because you're getting her wages. Right? And if you're getting her wages, you're also going to be getting her bonus as well. Fine. And the same thing is true with the adult children. Meaning, but this is a bigger chiddush. Meaning that if you're supporting them, so then presumably, so they have a right, so you have a right and entitlement to the Masi Adayim. And the minor children, if you're supporting them, so they have you have a right to accept their Masi Adayim. So now you basically are the owner of their wages. And now the Gemara says, Iyamar Bishlama Mishal Shamaimu, Ochel Mish Ochel. So the Gemara says, so now let's think this through. I totally understand the Mishnah if the bonus is Mina Shamayim. So then it actually makes perfect sense. Because even though you're supporting your entire family, your wife, your children, your adult children, your older children, your minor children, then I get it. Which is hachi eno kotzeis. Then I can totally understand why that bonus for your minor children is non-negotiable. Why is it non-negotiable? Because you're not the owner of that bonus. That bonus is not coming from the employer to you or from the employer to your child. That bonus is a direct result of matana of a matana from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore you're not in a position where you can negotiate it. You see, by the wife and by the adult children, so they're adults, they can be mochel, they can waive it, but your minor child can't waive it, and that's why it's not negotiable. However, let's think about it this way. So the Gemara says, but here's the part I don't understand. If the wages and the bonus are mishalo, coming from the employer to you, or in this case, from the employer to your minor children, so then of course it's negotiable. Meaning, just like you're entitled to the wages of your minor children, we're assuming you're supporting them, and therefore you're entitled to the minor to the wages of your minor children, so you should also be entitled to the bonus as well. So why would it be non-negotiable? Of course it should be negotiable. The bonus, if it's mishalo, the bonus is really no different than the actual wages itself. And if the wages can be negotiated, which they can, because you're entitled to them, so then you should also be entitled to the bonus as well. And so the Gemara over here says, really the only way to understand the Mishnah is that it's min hashamayim. And that's why you cannot negotiate the bonus of the minor children. It's simply not negotiable. So the iyamar mishalohu ochel kitanim nami nakotzlohu. So make a negotiation regarding the bonus of your minor children if it's mishalom. So the Gemara says, okay, so that seems to be a very strong question. So the Gemara says, okay, well, fine. So you know why it's not negotiable? It's because you're not supporting them. Okay, now, right, always an indelicate discussion where the Gemara says a number of times that there is no absolute requirement to support even your minor children. Obviously, even within this position, it's certainly encouraged to do so, right, promoted to do so, but may ikar din according to strict law, so you're not obligated to support them. But on the other hand, if you're not supporting them, you're certainly not entitled to their masi adayim. And so the Gemara says, so that's what the Bryce is dealing with. So yachi gedolim nami. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so now let's go back to the older children, who were the Gemara saying now you're not supporting. So yachi gedolim nami. So the Gemara says gedolim yadu v'kamach. The Gemara says, yeah, but that doesn't bother me. Because, look, you're not supporting them, but they understand, meaning you didn't negotiate without their consent. You negotiate with their consent. They understood, and they're mochel. So the Gemara says, and that's the difference between the older children and the younger children. Okay. The Gemara says, okay, but let's consider, we're going to learn the same thing. Now, what we saw so far is a Mishnah. What we're going to learn the same thing, and now this is a Braisa. It's going to come out sounding a little bit different. V'atan Rav Yoshi, according to the Adam, I did atma v'yede ishto, avalo al yede behemto, v'al yede beno ubito hagedolim, avalo al yede beno ubito haketanim. Okay, so in the price of Rav Yoshi, so you can negotiate on behalf of yourself and on behalf of your wife, but not on behalf of your animal. On behalf of your older children, but not on behalf of your younger children. The code states, al yedei, so far so good, meaning that runs parallel to what we already saw in the Mishnah. The code states, al yedei avdo v'shimchaso akananim, bein gedolim bein ketanim. But in the brisa over here, in terms of negotiation for your avadim, so the brisa says of Rav Yoshi, you cannot do it. And here it does not matter what their age is, whether they're older, whether they're younger. You cannot negotiate on behalf of the avadim. Okay, and obviously this brisa over here, contrasted with our Mishnah, makes the difference between the Mishnah and the brisa is the avadim. If you look back at the Mishnah, again, we're going to see twice today, but if you look back in the Mishnah says that when it comes to the avadim, you cannot negotiate on behalf of them, but only when they're minors. Here in the Brice of Rav Yoshi, you cannot negotiate for your avadim, period. So now, obviously, how do we, the issue we have to deal with is how to explain the discrepancy between the Mishnah and the Braisa. So my love, idiv idiv amala mazonos. So the Gemara says, again, let's start with our assumption. Our assumption is that you're supporting. Once you're giving them food, the ma'aseh yadayim comes back to you. Uva'aka miflagi. And now the Gemara says, now that we're here, so here we're going to have to say that this is the core of the debate between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Marsav v'mishalahu ochel, umarsav v'mishalahu mishal shamayim ocha. And what that issue over here is whether or not it's mishalo mishna shamayim. Again, if it's mishalo, so that means that the bonus is coming from the employer. And as much as you have an entitlement to the wages of your eved that you're supporting, you also have an entitlement to the bonus as well. And that would be the mishnah that says that you can negotiate. Masha ein kein, according to the Brisa, says you cannot negotiate. So the Brisa is obviously holding it's min hashamayim. And once it's min hashamayim, so then you don't have a right to the bonus. So what we seem to have now, what we know we have is a machlokus between the Mishnah and the Brisa, and what we seem to have now is, as an explanation, it's exactly running along the lines of how to understand the entitlement of achila. Is it min hashamayim or is it mishalo? So the Gemara says, lo, dekulei ama mishalo hu ochel. So the Gemara says, no. Well, here's what we're going to now argue. We're going to argue that really it's mishalo. That in terms of the bonus is a bonus to the wages coming straight from the employer to you. Okay, it's wages. V'lo kasha kan b'she'in ma'alam mazonos. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, kan b'she'in ma'alam mazonos, u'braisa b'ma'alam mazonos. So the Gemara says, and now, in terms of explaining the discrepancy between the Mishnah and the Braisa, one's going to be talking about where you are supporting, and one's talking about where you're not supporting. So, b'mayu kimta. So the Gemara says, okay. So how are we explaining now the Braisa? We're explaining the Braisa where you where you're supporting. So the Gemara says, so now we're saying mishalo. And then, in other words, it's included under the category of wages. Mm-hmm. And we're saying that you're supporting. You're supporting your avadim. So if you're giving them food, and the wages are mishalo, so you should be in a position that you should be able to negotiate. And you should be able to negotiate for both the adult avadim and the minor ketanim as well. So the Gemara says, Yachi ketanim nami, nakutz lahu. So why can't you negotiate on behalf of the minors? The minor avadim. So the Gemara says, Sarayu debeno. Ubito ketanim lo zachla rechmana. So the Gemara says, well, as far as negotiation for your minor children, so the Gemara says, look, they're working in the field. They want to eat. You can't put them in a position where there's all this food around. Normally, under normal circumstances, a worker would be entitled to eat, but now because of your negotiation, they can't eat. The Gemara says you don't have the right to do that. That provides that's discomfort for the children, and you don't have that kind of negotiation power. So the Gemara says, "B'mayu kimtel amasizim b'shem alam mazonos." Okay, and now let's go to the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, we're saying that you are not supporting them, and the Gemara is saying, and under those circumstances, that's the pshat behind the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says that you cannot negotiate for your minor children, and you cannot negotiate for your minor of Adam because you're not supporting them. So So the Gemara says, okay, this goes back to a discussion we haven't gotten. And that is that when it comes to your Evikanani, do you have to support your Evikanani? And interestingly enough, again, we saw this back in Git, and we're seeing it again now, machlokas. It's a machlokas whether or not you need to support your Eved Kenani. There is an opinion that says, Eina Rav Yochel Amar LaEved, what a master cannot say to the Eved is that you'll work for me. In other words, I'll be entitled to your Masi Adayim, but you know what? I'm not going to support you. The Gemara says, if you subscribe to that viewpoint, so then fine, I understand. So in other words, the Masi Adayim that you're entitled to is only coming in exchange for support. But there is an opinion that says that when it comes to your Eved Kenani, so you have the right to say your Eved Kenani, look, I know eating is one of those habits that you have to do every day. I get it. But you know what? It's not coming from me. You'll knock from door to door. People will support you. You'll go to the local soup kitchen. I know it's not nice. I understand that. But there is an opinion that says that you are not obligated to support. So that means now that if you're not obligated to support your Eved, the Maisi Adayim, the Mizonos reciprocity doesn't necessarily exist. So the Gemara says, so now if that's true, so then your right to Masi Adayim really has nothing to do with whether you do or do not support them. So if that's true, so then we don't have a working pshat within the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, okay. So we're going to go back to what we proposed earlier, which is that both in the Mishnah and in the Braisa, you are not supporting them. Uva Hapligi, and the Gemara says, and what's that issue over here? What's that the basic base of the machlokis? Mar Savi Yachol, Mar Savi Yachol. So the Gemara says, and what's at the base of the machlokis is whether or not you can or cannot not support your Eved Kenani. So if you have to support your Eved Kenani, so that means that by you supporting them, you're entitled to the Masi Adayim. If you don't have to support your Eved Kenani, so that means that regardless of whether you do or you do not feed them, you're still entitled to the Masi Adayim. And again, that will bring us back to the question of whether or not you can negotiate their bonus for you. Meaning, tell the owner of the field, they're not going to eat and I'm going to take their bonus, and I'm going to take the bonus home with me. So again, are you allowed to do that? Mishnah and Bryce are at odds with one another. The explanation of the Gemara right now is whether or not the bonus is tied to the mazonos that you are supporting them. Now, Rabbi Yochanan Damar Yochel Rav. So now, Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion of Yochel Rav, meaning we know the Gemara in Gittin tells us that according to Rabbi Yochanan, the owner does not have to feed his Eved Kenani. So now, Shavik Masnitzin Va'avik Kebraisa. So now, of the Mishnah or of the Braisa, who is Rav Yochanan siding with? Sounds like what Rav Yochanan is siding with is the Braisa. Because the Rav Yochanan holds that you don't have to support. And if Rav Yochanan holds that you don't have to support, that means that you're always entitled to the Masi Adayim. So that means that you can always negotiate on behalf of your Avadim. But that means now that Rav Yochanan is, instead of siding with the Mishnah, siding with the Braisa. And the Gemara says, and that's strange. Meaning, you normally would not be favoring in halacha a Braisa over a Mishnah. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe we can go back now to the drawing board and offer another pshat in the Braisa. And that is that's Min HaShamayim. Which means that the bonus is coming straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to whoever the worker is. And that means, of course, that the father or the owner of the Eved Kenanim have no right to negotiate the bonus. So now, if all that's true, so then how did you understand the Mishnah? How did you understand the Braisa? When the word that's being used is kotzeitz, which means negotiating. What are we negotiating if you're not entitled to it? So the Gemara says, my kotzeitz, I'm a Rabbi Yoshia. So when Rabbi Yoshia was talking about kotzeitz, what was he making reference to? Mizonos. So the Gemara says, what he was making reference to was mizonos. What does that mean? Rashi explains that the negotiation is that I will feed the workers before they go to the field. That way, I can't tell them not to eat, but they're not going to want to eat because they're going to be full, having me first fed them before they went out to the field. And therefore, that's the negotiation, and that's why, under those circumstances, I would like their bonus of food, because I'll make sure that they're not going to eat beforehand. I will feed them beforehand. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, I can understand how you can make such negotiations regarding your workers. You know you can't make negotiations like that with your animals. You know, you're not allowed to muzzle the animal. So such negotiations cannot be made with the animal. So finally, the Gemara comes around full circle and concedes that the only way to understand the discrepancy between the Mishnah and the Braisa, Ella, the Gemara says, Ba'kamifligi, the Marsafra Mishalo Ochel, or Marsafra Mishal Shamaimu Ochel. Whether or not you can negotiate the receiving of the bonus of your Eved Kenani, of your minor children, and the discrepancy that exists between the Mishnah and the Braisa is just going to be fundamentally rooted in our original presentation, in our original lamdas, which is it Minashamayim or is it Mishalo? If it's Mishalo, so just like you're entitled to the wages of your Eved Kenani and your children, so therefore you can negotiate the bonus. Masha Enkin, if it's Minashamayim, so then you have no negotiation right. Okay. Adkan. That takes us to the end of that sugya. So, after, really, Gemara asked the question of Sadi Beis Amad Aleph, as to whether or not this bonus is min hashamayim or it's mishalo. Is it just simply a bonus of wages, or is this more like matan saniyim? So the Gemara spent almost an entire daf discussing this issue, and ultimately, when all said and done, the Gemara itself did not arrive at a resolution as to whether or not it's mishalo or min hashamayim. Okay, Mishnah. This Mishnah is going to sound familiar. A lot of this Mishnah we've already gone through. We can run through it rather quickly. The Mishnah says that you negotiate on behalf of your on yourself. On behalf of your older children. On behalf of your older slaves. And on behalf of your wife. Because in all these cases they have das. And therefore you can, as long as the employer is agreeable, negotiate with the employer and say, we are all not going to eat, and we would all like our bonus to come in the form of money, a monetary bonus instead of the food bonus. So if you negotiate, and like we said, like we discussed earlier, Danny, in other words, you're going to also have to negotiate how much it's going to be monetarily, but if everyone is amenable to that, so then we can make such a negotiation. But not on behalf of the minors. Not your minor children, not your minor slaves, so you cannot negotiate on their behalf. Why not? So already, after seeing everything that we saw so far today, there could be a host of explanations of why not. But for our purposes right now, you can't negotiate on their behalf. They simply don't have the requisite das. V'lo de behemto. And also your animal as well. Now again, for your animal, like we said earlier, it's a separate category. You can't negotiate for your animal because you're not allowed to muzzle the animal. Okay. Again, a line we already saw this morning, but now here's the Mishnah, we get to see it again, and that is that if, let's say the workers worked in the field that was netter revai, and you told them beforehand, so they can't eat. If you didn't tell them before and it was netter revai, so now they come to the field and now they discover it's netter revai. That's not, they didn't know that. It's mekach tos, that's what the Gemara said earlier this morning. It's mekach tos, and therefore you, the owner of the field, have the obligation to redeem and feed them. Nisparso agulav niftechu chaviyosav hare elo lo yochlu im lo hodian maiser umachilan. Again, another case we saw earlier. The dates were already pressed into a cake. They came apart. The wine was already put into the barrel. Bowels broke. So under these circumstances, you hire the workers to re-cake the dates. You hire the workers to fix the barrels and put the wine back in the barrels under these circumstances. So we assume they know that was a Gemara Malacha, and therefore they're not entitled to eat. But if they didn't know, and again, we already went through the Gemara earlier this morning, what was the misunderstanding? But for our purposes right now, I'm going through the Mishnah. Let's just simply say that there was a misunderstanding. So there, you, the owner of the field, because you misled them, you have to now take off Trumas and Maaser so that they could drink the wine. And finally, the last part of the Mishnah, which we have not yet discussed, meaning the Gemara is not going to bother discussing all these cases in the Mishnah because we already discussed them in the previous sugya. The last case of the Mishnah, which we have not discussed, is Shomrei Peiros. Let's say you're doing the job of watching the field. Okay. It's a tough job. And then when I say tough, I'm meaning there's no action involved. And you're just sitting there and you're just watching and protecting the field. Now, obviously, you're providing a service. Are you entitled to eat the food of the field for just simply watching it? So the Mishnah takes a very clear position, yes, but it's not Minatorah. Minatorah, in order for you to be able to eat, you have to work. And the Mishnah says, but this is not, don't get me wrong, it's work, and obviously it's a service, and you're going to get paid, but you don't have a Torah entitlement to eat. Mehilchos Medina, because it's the accepted custom of the locale that such a worker can eat, so therefore he's allowed to eat. But this goes back to what we learned at the very beginning of the parak. That's Minhag Medina, meaning you have to follow the common practices of employee. So a guard is allowed to eat, but that's only because it's accepted practice. But the Torah does not give him the right in order to eat. So, which prompts the Gemara to have the following discussion. Show me prayers. So, let's say you are guarding a field. You're guarding an orchard. Amarav lo shanu ela shomrei ganos apardesim. So, the Gemara says that Rav makes the following distinction. We are talking about where you are watching the orchard. Aval shomrei gitos va'aremos. But if what you're watching is the vat, meaning the wine has already been the grapes have already been harvested, and it's been pressed into wine, or the arema is a pile of wheat. So under these circumstances, ochlin min haTorah. So you are allowed to eat min haTorah. Why? Because it's chayv and shumas and maizos.
Yeah.
Okay, well, they're good. Okay, the Rashi says that we have to be talking about before the Gemara Malacha. Otherwise, you're absolutely right. So the kasavar mishmar keosa maizadami. So now, why would that be? So must be that according to Rav, watching is considered a maizah. Again, it's kind of hard to argue, and I know it's kind of hard to argue, that, in other words, when you're picking the fruit off the field, that certainly is an action point where now you're entitled to eat. But what Rav is trying to argue now is that even watching the field is considered enough of a maisa, and so therefore you'd be allowed to eat. Now, if that's true, so let's go back now to the first statement of Rav. So if watching is considered a maisa, so then, and the shomrei ganos, right? The shomrei ganos. So how come they're not allowed to eat minatara? So the Gemara, so Rashi points that over here, and you have to say something. And Rashi says it must be that when you're just simply watching a field, minatara, you're not allowed to eat because goes back to what we said about a week ago in the seventh barak, because it's too early. Meaning, remember, there's a window of an opportunity for a worker to eat. It has to be at the point where we are picking the fruit off the field, and from that point until it reaches the point of the Gemar Malacha for Tevel. So that's your window of opportunity. So if you're just watching a field and you're watching all the fruit and the produce grow, it's just simply too early. So minatari you're not allowed to eat, but that's what the Mishnah is telling us. That's right. Minatari you're not allowed to eat. But minaka medina you're allowed to eat. With that stated now, let's continue in the Gemara. So far, we saw Shitas Rav. Shmuel Amar, Lo Shanu Ella, Sharmegitas Varemos. No. The Mishnah was only talking about those watching the barrels of wine. I don't really mean barrels of wine. That's already too late. In other words, the vats of wine and the pile of wheat. Aval shomrei ganos pardesim in ochlim lo minatar v'lo mi hilchos medina. However, according to Shmuel, if you're just there to watch the field, so you're allowed to eat nothing. Not minatar, not mi minag medina. Now the Gemara says kasavar mishmar la mishamer lavko se maizadami. Now it must be that according to Shmuel, watching is not considered a maisa, and so therefore you have no entitlement to eat. Not minatar, not mi minag medina. Meizer revacha beravuna mishamer sapar mitame begadim. So the Gemara now quotes the following, and that is you are watching a paraduma. Okay, again, job of being a shomer. But that's all you're doing. You're just watching it. Now, there's not much more to do. Not a lot of work. You're not allowed to work it. And in fact, by the way, that's what you're watching. You're watching that it doesn't work. And also, Rashi points that over here, you're also preventing it from any type of hetzach hadas, meaning that we have it designed and designated for paraduma. So, because you're involved in the paraduma, so therefore you're going to become tummy. Right? Mitame taharim, mitayar tameim. So you're going to be tummy. Now, iamar mishmalavkos amaisa dame, amai mitame begadim. So over here, what are you doing? What are you doing? I mean that here literally. What are you doing? Because in order to be subject to tuma of paraduma, you have to do something. And what are you doing? You're watching. Okay, so it seems to be pretty clear that what we're learning now together is that watching is considered doing. So the Gemara says, Amarava Barula Xerishama Yaziz Ba'aver. So the Gemara says, no. Really, the truth of the matter is that the Tumah being described over here in the Mishnah is not a Tumah d'Oraisa. It's a Tumah d'Rabbanan on account that maybe you'll do something. But right now, in the state of guarding, Minatorah, that's not considered doing anything. And yes, the Mishnah says that you're mitame, but only on a din d'rabbanan. Meizav Rav Kahana, mishamer arba v'chamesh mikshaos. Let's say you're asked to watch 4 to 5 fields of cucumbers. Harizol yimalei kreisu me'echad mehem. So now, as you're going around helping yourself because you're allowed to, so here's what you shouldn't do. Don't go to one field and just take from one of the five. And let me call that. What you should do is you should distribute and help yourself, but be fair to all the fields that you're watching. Now, so the Gemara, simple question. Well, if you think that gardening is not doing anything, so under what right do you have to eat? So be'akurin shanu. Well, maybe we're talking about where the cucumbers were already been picked off the ground. So the Gemara says, really? Akurin v'alo nigmar malachtan. L'maiser. So the Gemara says, okay, picked off the ground. Now it's too late. Now you're not allowed to eat. So the Gemara says, shalonita pikashlam. So the Gemara says, well, the stem didn't fall off, the pitum didn't fall off, and like we learned earlier, so it has not reached the point of gemar malacha. I'm Rav Ashi Kavasi Shmuel Mestabra. So the Gemara now, we have a basic machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. When you are guarding, so again, it's certainly a service. You're certainly going to get paid, but the question is really simple. Is it considered a maisa? In terms of the poel, question is, does he have an entitlement to eat? So the Gemara says, and we saw now, machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says it's considered a maisa. Shmuel says it's not considered a maisa. Now, Dinan, the Gemara says, I'm Rav Ashi Kavasi Shmuel Mestabra Dinan. Let's look at the Mishnah. Ve'el ochlim en ha-Torah osa b'mechub al-karka. B'shas gemar malacha uvetalosh. We go back to a Mishnah that we learned earlier, that these people are entitled to eat min ha-Torah, somebody who is involved in mechub al-karka, something connected to the ground, and also talosh. Now, mechlau de'ika de'lo ka'achal min ha-Torah ela me'elchus medina. Now, the Mishnah is implying that these are things that you can eat min ha-Torah, and there must be a grade lower, where you're not eating min ha-Torah, but you're allowed to eat me'elchus medina. So the Gemara says, Ema Seifa. The Gemara says, okay, but read on. Ve'elu she'enam ochlim. And these are people who don't eat. My enam ochlim, elam she'en ochlim in a Torah, ela me'elchus medina, hainereisha. Well, the Gemara says, well, if we're only dropping off one level, so the Seif and the Reisha are staying at the same point, then why would the mission wouldn't be doing that? Elalav she'en ochlim lo min a Torah, ela me'elchus medina. Well, my niu, it must be the Mishnah is describing where you're not allowed to eat at all. Specifically, osebe mechubala. So when you are watching something that's connected to the ground, we're not picking it off the ground yet, you can't eat. Not min ha-Torah, not min ha-Rabbanan. And if you're watching a garden, if you're watching an orchard, you're not allowed to eat at all. So the Mishnah seems to be supportive of Shmuel's position that when you are a shomer, that is not considered a maisa, and so therefore you have no entitlement to eat. Not min ha-Torah and not min ha-Rabbanan as well. So we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from the Mishnah.